We know the world is in need of prayer. This Friday is World Day of Prayer, and we will be having an in-person service here in the sanctuary at 12:30 on Friday. 12:30, with refreshments to follow. Please do share the word. We gather in prayer for our world, and no more important occasion than this. We give glory to God in the singing of our first hymn, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." I invite you to stand as you are able. You are light. You are truth. We thank you for the love that loves first and shows us what love is. We thank you for the light that shines from the face of Jesus Christ and enlightens every human being. We thank you for what is beyond and is not invented or fake news. Nothing can diminish who you are. Gracious God, we ask for eyes open to see your glory where it is reflected in the world today, and grieve where it is obscured, particularly this week through acts of aggression and war. Help us see where we have failed to reflect your glory. We confess the times when we have looked away or walked by on the other side. We confess the times when we have chosen wealth and power for us over freedom and dignity for all. Forgive us when we have been overtaken by our own projects rather than the life of your kingdom. We join together in a moment of silent confession. God of grace, you speak words of forgiveness within us. Reignite the fire of faith and inspire us with the freedom of your Spirit. Empower us through the prayer Jesus taught his disciples as we pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in a time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You might remember around the time of COP26, we were blessed to hear from some of the young people in our community as to what their hopes and fears were, and their hopes for the planet we would pass on into their care. Well, this week seems like a week when we really, really need to hear from young people. So I'm delighted that Oscar is going to come and have a chat with me, and I'm going to come up to the stairs here. Oscar, thank you so much, because us older folk really need to hear what you and younger people are saying. We need to listen. So this week, our reading is about Jesus being shown in all his glory. And when the disciples saw it, there was a little bit of fear in there. And also in the news.
5 days later, Jesus took with him
Peter and James
and John
and went up on the mountain to pray.
And while he was praying,
the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became a dazzling white.
Suddenly, they saw two men,
Moses and Elijah,
talking to him, and they appeared in glory. They were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem.
Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake,
they saw Jesus' glory and the two who stood with him.
Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah."
While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them,
and they were terrified as they entered the cloud.
And from the cloud came a voice that said,
"This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him."
This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him.
When the voice had spoken,
Jesus was found alone,
and they kept silent.
And in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen.
Conversing with the greatest Hebrew prophets, Moses and Elijah.
God's presence. The people were afraid to look at him because his face was shining. So Moses began to wear a veil that covered his face whenever he had been meeting with God, and wore it until the shining faded away. The Apostle Paul refers to this veil in our reading from 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. This is not an easy passage. I want to focus on this idea of glory and on the impact of spending time in God's presence. Hear the reading from 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 18, and chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened, indeed. To this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. A key verse in this scripture is verse 18 of chapter 3, where Paul says, "All of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." Paul is talking here about the possibility of gradual transformation brought about by the Holy Spirit, available to all of us. He uses the image of a mirror. Mirrors in New Testament times were made of polished metal, usually copper or bronze, and did not give the precise, accurate reflection that we are used to today. Our vision of God's glory will only be partial or incomplete, but powerful enough to transform us over time more and more into the likeness of Christ. Paul elaborates this idea a little further in this amazing verse where he says, "God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light marked by 40 plus years of a brutal communist regime, of any sense of community or mutual trust. We had days when we felt overwhelmed, knowing that our efforts were like a drop in the vast ocean of human need. I had assigned this required reading for my students taught by Mother Teresa, from which we learned that she and her missionaries of charity began every day of their communal life with a mass and an hour of prayer. Devotion to Christ and prayer were the source that energized them for their ministry to the poor. As one of the sisters explained, turning to God first was Mother Teresa's way of doing things. When you went to the home of the dying each day, you never touched a single person or helped a single person until you first stopped and prayed together. You would ask God for all strength, peace, kindness, understanding, love, and everything we needed to serve our brothers and sisters who were dying. In Mother Teresa's own words, to be able to bring his peace, joy, and love, we must have it ourselves, for we cannot give what we have not got. She goes on, our lives to be fruitful must be full of Christ. This requires that we spend time with God, look at him, open our hearts to him, and empty our hearts of all that is not him. One prayer which Mother Teresa and sisters pray daily is this prayer by Cardinal Newman. I'm going to read it, and then we'll have a few moments of silence. You are invited to read it with me out loud or silently and just listen. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us, and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our souls. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light of Jesus will all be from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around us. Let us preach you without preaching, not by words, but by example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what we do, the evident fullness of the love our hearts bear for you. Amen. Communism. without NATO and here in our own land. Amen.
And do not let them be afraid.
of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We exchange a sign of peace with one another.
Lord, may the light of your love shine bright.
together with the prayers of our hearts, trusting that you hear the cries of every human heart. In our Saviour's name, we ask and we act. Amen. A few moments ago, we heard Dorothy talk of the possibility of gradual transformation brought about by the Holy Spirit, powerful enough to transform us over time more and more into the likeness of Christ. We heard Ukrainian Christians pray that their minds and characters would continue to be transformed into the character of Jesus Christ. This is their prayer at the height of this crisis. And may that be the prayer of each of us. This coming Wednesday begins the season of Lent. And to enter fully into the season of Lent is to actively seek to be transformed. If you wish to be, we find what we seek. Lent is an invitation to spend time in God's presence in an intentional way. So I invite you to take on a Lenten practice of your choosing. You know best how God works within you, how the Holy Spirit speaks to your spiritual personality. This is about spiritual transformation. Often we think of giving things up. But the other way of looking at that is taking on something new. I have just got one example of a Lenten practice here to share with you, known as the Examen. It's a particular way of reflecting at the end of each day where you met God. Where and how and through whom God spoke to you. It's a time of reflection, a time of seeking grace for the following day. It's a holy habit to get into. Information and cards about this practice are available as you leave today. Take one with you. Share it. This is a daily practice to get into, of which there are many others. This is but one suggestion. Seek, and you shall find. We sing our final hymn, singing of all the wonder that surrounds us, and knowing that it springs from God's